at where I'm coming from. I know I'm blessed, and I close my eyes and smile. Sometimes I feel like the richest man in Babylon. And I've done my best, so everything's alright inside.
Welcome to the ANMAS podcast. Today we'll be talking with Emily Johnston, a mindfulness practitioner, trainer and coach. She'll be sharing with us her journey from Montessori teacher to ANMAS trainer, as well as sharing with us the work that she does in schools with young people, looking at stress, how they work through their exams, but also how they really get in touch with themselves as a person. She'll also be sharing with us her well-being practice and how she brings that into the training space itself. Welcome, Emily. It's great to have you with us. So you're a trainer with us at ANMAS. Yep. You're a mindfulness coach. You do acupressure. Mm-hmm. You do Reiki. Mm-hmm. So how do you manage to fit all of this in?
Well, with some difficulty. So yes, it's lovely to be here. By the way, it's really nice to be here. There's a lot going on at the moment, which is great. I'm loving what I do. I love the variety, and for me, that's really, really key. I'm not sure I'd want to do any one of those just by themselves, individually. Okay. I really enjoy the variety. I enjoy the variety with the body work and the kind of thought-provoking work of the coaching and the well-being coaching, the training as well. The training, interacting with all those students, it's such fun. It's great.
So where did this start? Was there something that came first?
What came first? Well, originally I trained as a Montessori teacher, actually.
Okay.
I actually trained as a Montessori teacher, and the theory and the ethos of that has really been something that's kind of come through the whole way. The theory behind that, as it were, the philosophy, the ethos of Montessori teaching is to get the child to get to a point where they say, I can do this for myself. So you're aiming to help children become independent human beings. And I really feel that's something that follows through, really, and comes through in the coaching very much. You're, you know, in that conversation with a client, you're helping them to become themselves, to really fulfill their own potential, but not by giving advice, not by kind of, you know, fixing them by any means, but just helping them to explore how they can be themselves. So that's a current that seems to have come through.
Lovely. And your mindfulness coaching, so how's that different to just coaching?
So I would say it brings another level of awareness. So I've practiced mindfulness and meditation for many, many years, and I really find it so powerful to raise the level of awareness in both myself and the clients that I see. Nothing can happen until we see what's going on. And then we have a choice. Then we have a choice to change. Then we have a choice whether to stick with what we see or to make that change. So awareness is really, really key. And by using mindfulness, we really raise the bar of self-awareness.
So what is it that we do to enable that awareness to happen? If somebody's not come across mindfulness before and they're sort of going, well, what's the tool or the skill or the frame or the thing that happens? What would that be?
So I would say there's two ways of using mindfulness. We can use it as an internal practice, a bit like a meditation, or we can use it actively in our life, in our daily life, you know, just doing what we do normally. The key to it, I would say, is in the meditation, it's focusing the attention on one particular thing, whether that's breath or a word or something, you know, visual, or movement. So focusing the attention. And by focusing the attention, what we're doing is we are training our brains to not go with the habitual thoughts. We can also use mindfulness to take a step back, to just get perspective on what's going on up here, because there's so much that goes on within us that we don't really, not really aware of most of the time, or the emotions or the thoughts. They kind of come in and they pass by, and sometimes we attach to those thoughts and think about them a lot. Or attached to particular feelings. But when we're mindful, we step back and we just notice, oh, gosh, there's a thought coming in here. Do I want to go with that or do I not want to go with that? I can choose. I can make a decision whether to go with that or not. I don't have to habitually go with it. So it's taking a step back and being able to be more in control, I suppose, of our thoughts and feelings. Yeah,
I suppose it reminds me of some of the TA stuff, transactional analysis work, around being in the adult, so you're able to respond to what's happening as opposed to reacting to things that are going on. And you train on our transactions module with us at Animus. And do you find those an overlap there as well?
Totally, yes. I mean, in order to shift from either parent or child state into an adult state, we really need that awareness. Sometimes it kind of happens by chance. We kind of like find ourselves becoming aware of a situation. Sometimes through practice, doing mindfulness practices regularly, for example, that can help us to become more aware generally in our day-to-day state. But that shift is only going to happen if there is awareness and we can shift into that adult space. That adult space is all about awareness and about appropriate behaviour and what's right for that situation. It might be right to be completely childish in that space, and that's absolutely fine, but it's about being aware. Yeah.
So I suppose then, a strand of your work with your clients will be about that awareness and generating and noticing what's happening for them and stepping into that space of making choice. And I wonder, how does that play out in your role as a trainer?
Oh, interesting question. I would say I do. I obviously don't bring mindfulness per se into the training room, but it's certainly a viewpoint that I have. So when I come into training room, I'm coming in partly as a wellbeing coach. That's who I am. That's my work. So just recognizing that, raising the level of awareness either through coaching or through mindfulness practices can really help a client to become more aware of their situation. Equally, showing a client a model, for example, like the theory behind transactions, the theory behind transactional analysis, the parent-child ego states, can help a client become more aware of what's going on. They're kind of, oh, wow, this is the kind of interesting theory about what might be going on for me. Really interesting to explore. And because I'm seeing it here in front of me as a theory, then I can take a step back in myself and notice more what's going on.
Cool. So you're bringing that sort of that lens, as it were, into the training space. Not necessarily saying explicitly that we're working in this way, but I suppose it's part of who you are, in essence.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I remember when I was talking with Marcus about presence, and him saying that essentially that's kind of who he is, and that's how he shows up. So it's bound to impact the space that he's working in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. I mean, I think it comes into, any area of my life, really, that sense of using mindfulness, using awareness, whether it's in coaching or whether it's in the training room or whether it's in acupressure, what I'm doing with body work with clients, or even being a parent, hey.
Yeah, I can really imagine that stuff.
Totally.
So how do you, so you're doing all of this stuff and you're a parent. Mm. I sort of know that some of the coaches that we train or that we work with find it hard to imagine how they'll juggle all of these things. How have you gone about being able to do that?
Wow. Okay, so I suppose I started to retrain once the children were old enough to go to school. So I did it quite gradually. I did it gradually over the last 10 years. I've built up my practice slowly through acupressure, through doing wellbeing workshops, stress reduction workshops, mindfulness practices, that kind of thing. Just gradually building up, taking on the coaching, taking on the training, gradually building up and just sort of juggling, how much I'm needed by the children. They're now kind of in their late teens, so they need me an awful lot less. They're out partying most of the time. Not quite. But they're doing exams and they're off, my eldest is off at university. So gradually, as time has gone on, I've been more free to do to follow the career that I'm doing now and to follow the different areas that I'm working in. So it's been a gradual process, and I think that's really important. To be able to take it gradually, actually, is really useful.
So you did a talk for us recently on mindfulness and the notion of that, the sort of the uncertain and the volatile world that we live in. And I remembered that you did some mindfulness practices with us, and there's also a bit where you were showing us some images and asking us how we were responding to those images. Do you do any of that sort of work with your clients?
Not particularly, no, not work with like that, not in terms of showing them images and that kind of thing. But certainly, you know, for example, if I have a client who comes in and they're really stressed, they've just come from work and they're kind of all up here and they're not really necessarily a great space to do coaching work with me, then that might be an opportunity, obviously, that I cover and contract with them. That might be an opportunity for me to say, okay, so how are you feeling at the moment? How do you feel? Do you feel in a, you know, the right space for this coaching session? It might be, you know, a suggestion might be that we start with a mindfulness practice. Is that something you want? Is that something you'd like to do? And generally speaking, if they would like to start with that, that's a really useful way to bring them into the space, to help them just to settle, to let go of the day, to let go of all that busyness and the changing world, the volatile world that we live in, the chaos sometimes that we come from, and to just to let go of that, just let that settle. And just come into that space, that coaching space, and connect with who they are in that moment, in that present space, and what they'd like coaching around.
And what was it like doing the talk?
Oh, it was really good fun. Yes, yes. I have to say, it was kind of at the end of a busy day, so I was a bit, whew. But I took a moment before I went in to practice some mindfulness, to really settle, to meditate a little bit before I went in. And it was really nice, actually. I had some really great questions from the students. And from the audience, and we had some lovely practices in, you know, in the lecture as well. We kind of practiced mindfulness.
And could you share with us some of the sort of the key themes that you explored during that talk?
Wow, it's some time ago. I think. Yeah, we looked very much at the attitudes, the seven unchanging attitudes, we call them, of mindfulness, and how we can use those, how we can explore those in our daily lives to be able to really reconnect with ourselves and be in this world, but be still connected to who we are and be aware of who we are in that space. So yes, connecting with those unchanging attitudes.
So connecting with those, the unchanging attitudes, connecting with ourselves so we can show up and we can be who we are, yeah, within that coaching space when we're working with our clients. And I suppose that, you know, as a coach, that can be really useful. Mm-hmm. To kind of be in touch with yourself. It can be really useful to get our clients to be in touch with themselves to explore what it is that they really want to do, mm-hmm, and how they want to move forward. And that just makes me think about, so what does the future hold for Emily? What's sort of on the horizons for you?
Well, obviously, I'm going to be joining Animus as a part-time trainer in January. So that's the next step, and hopefully more development, you know, with that. Really looking forward to being part of the Animus team, you know, and actually, you know, helping Animus develop, developing myself as a trainer as well. I really enjoy the training room. But I'd really like to develop further. I'd like to explore more, for example, about transaction analysis, explore further into coaching as it's, you know, as a practice, as what we do, and also how we can use mindfulness practices more within coaching and maybe bring that in. Maybe bring that in as part of the training. That might be something that we could bring in. Mm. But certainly, extending myself more as a trainer, and also thereby probably encouraging my coaching work as well, sort of reworking on that.
Cool. And when you think about sort of that sort of developing your coaching work, is there anything in particular that you sort of go, oh, that, you know, I'd love to go away and do that course or work with that person, that sort of comes to mind for you?
Mm-hmm. At the moment, I'm working with teenagers. And that's actually really interesting. I'm quite keen to take that a bit further. I'm not quite sure how yet, but I'm quite keen to take that a little bit further because teenagers in our society today are in a really difficult space. You know, they're being heavily pressured at school. There's a lot going on with all the exams they have to do. Somehow, you know, every decade that goes past, these exams become more and more important and more pressured. So there's a lot going on for them, and there's a lot of anxiety and there's a lot of depression. I think that's also brought in by, you know, things like social media and the pressures of social, you know, of society as a whole, and also all the other things that are going on, like the environment and all those kind of things. So there's a lot of pressure on teenagers, and yet I think there is also quite a lot of awareness. They have a lot of awareness, probably more awareness than when I was that age. And and I think, you know, they it would really help to have a lot more coaching in their lives, actually. A lot more, you know, mindfulness practice and a lot more coaching to help them to explore who they want to be and how they want their world to look.
Okay, so instead of doing that sort of later on in life, actually getting it up front in their teenage years, exploring who they want to be, identifying those core values and beliefs that they have that kind of propel them forward into the world.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Starting to identify those. And also sort of identifying, I mean, you know, doing transactions, for example, bringing some of the transaction lenses into working with teenagers is fascinating, because they start to see those relationships they have with their parents or their teachers or their friends, start to see those in a completely different light, which I think is a great age to be able to see those things, because then you can take that forward into college, or you can take that forward into university and into your work life, and could have a really, you know, big impact on the rest of their lives. So, yeah.
Yeah, it sort of made me think about when I used to coach in schools, and I'd end up doing more work with the teachers than I did with the students, because often it was the way the teachers were responding or reacting, rather, to the students in the space that was causing so much anxiety and stress within that sort of classroom environment. I think teachers can sometimes forget the sort of the power that they have, or the authority that they have in those spaces.
Yeah. I'm always struck, actually, when I go into the classroom, because I work in classrooms as well as one-to-one with students, I'm always struck, and I think it's just it really is a symptom of the kind of orthodox methods of teaching. I'm always struck by how teachers are there, and they are telling the students. They're telling the students the whole time. There's always this kind of passing on of information or knowledge or understanding. They are constantly telling the students. But to be able to liberate that a little bit, to be able to loosen that a bit, and maybe bring in more coaching skills into the classroom, you know, for teachers to use, to bring in more coaching skills so that the children have more, that are more empowered to follow their own learning, would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually follow things that interest them more. But I think that would probably require a whole educational change. But anyway, yes.
So this is really fascinating for me, because it makes me wonder about how or what happens in the training room, because that can feel like a classroom to some of the adult learners that we train. And I wonder, what is it that we do in the training room that allows them to not feel like they're back at school and they can actually be part of the learning and the exploration?
Yeah. Well, when we have, you know, what do we have, 20-odd students in a training room, they're all from different backgrounds, they have different experiences. There are different ages, different stages in their lives. They have so much. They bring so much to the training room, which is fantastic. And I would say, as a trainer, you know, that's a valuable resource. That's it's a really valuable resource. Some of them are coaches already, but they're coming for, you know, a kind of more structured training. But in the training room, I think it's really important not just to impart information and theory, which, you know, we do have to a certain extent, but then to explore that with the students, to really ask them questions, or if they ask questions, to put that out to the group, or to ask that question back at them. Because then they are in a more exploratory state, they're more open to the possible varieties of answer from the group, and not just being spoon-fed.
You know, you were saying before that you were a Montessori teacher, and it kind of reminds me of the Dorothy Heathcote's work, Mantle of the Expert, where you don't tell them what to do, you share a space and say, in this space, what would we do?
Yeah.
So if we were a bank, how would we work? If we were a theatre, how would we work?
Yes.
So it's explorational learning as opposed to top-down learning.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yes. And it definitely calls, you know, comes back to the Montessori work that I did. And no, in a space where children can actually choose what they learn in that space, but they are very much directed to, this is a learning space. It's not a free-for-all, but it's very much, you know, what would you like to learn? What is important to you at this time? And how can we help or direct you towards what you'd like to do? So in the training space, again, just, yes, what do we want from this? What do we want from this training? What do we want as coaches? How do we want to be as coaches? What does that mean to be a coach? What is coaching?
Yeah.
And really exploring that. And how could we use these models in coaching? What would that look like? What would that sound like? What kind of questions would we ask? How do we interact with a client in this situation?
And do you ever feel sometimes that people may have an answer that doesn't quite sit well with you, or they sort of push back in that way of working?
Definitely, yeah, there's always going to be one, isn't there? There's always going to be a few students who definitely push back or see things in a different way. But that in itself can be a valuable resource, I think, because it can show the other students that there are other ways of thinking, there may be other ways of seeing this picture. But absolutely, there does. I think there also needs to be a balance with that in terms of what we are teaching as a school, what we are, what kind of ethos, what kind of practice we are putting out there.
Brilliant, lovely stuff. It's been a real pleasure talking with you today, Emily. Thank you so much for coming in. Oh, before we go, so you do all these other things. I'm just curious, if people wanted to get hold of you, perhaps for some acupressure or for some mindfulness, where would they find you?
So I have a website, www.emilywellbeing.co.uk. So do find me there, yes.
Awesome, brilliant. Thanks, Emily.
Thanks. With my two hands in the air as far as I can. Lift up my eyes to this, I'm blessed over.